You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Wednesday edition. My guest today, Nick Winkler, on this Winky Wednesday episode. He'll be joining me momentarily to break down everything going on with the 49ers. Some recent comments from Kyle Shanahan following week 14 and heading into week 15. And some clarity on some injured 49ers players. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. At BD Peacock on Twitter is where you can find me. Nick and I will most likely answer some questions. You never know where these shows go and where these Winky Wednesday episodes are going to take us, but we should have some time to field some of your questions. And always appreciate you guys hitting me up on Twitter at BD Peacock or email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And now let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, what's happening, my man? The latest from Kyle Shanahan, Debo Samuel is not going to be back for the regular season, but potentially could be back for the playoffs. What do you think about that? 49ers, Debo playing the playoffs. Seems unlikely.
Yeah, it does seem unlikely. I mean, obviously, they're not eliminated from playoff contention, but yeah, you can't lose that game last weekend like they did and expect to get into the postseason. You don't deserve it. You know, I mean, you watch that game and it's hard to watch because you know you're a better football team than they are, but they beat you because of the mistakes. You know, it's just it was a hard one for me to swallow on Sunday for sure.
Another question then, Kyle Shanahan also said it's probably at least a week away for Jimmy Garoppolo's practice window to open, and they don't want to allow him to play unless there's, you know, it's clear that he's not going to re-injure himself, and it was a rough injury, and they don't want to have to make him get surgery or anything like that. George Kittle's practice window is going to be opening this week. He's not going to play this week, but potentially we could see him before the end of the season. Your thoughts on those two players? Should they even risk the potential opportunity, even if it's 1% chance that they were to get hurt again, and potentially it would affect their offseason and 2021 if they were to get hurt? Do you just shut them all down?
Yeah, I mean, you don't bring them back yet, right? I mean, you know, even if you were able to bring them back this week, you don't do it. You know, if you go out, you win this game against Dallas, and then maybe even you see if you can win that game in Arizona, and then if you have a chance, a win, you know, when you get in with some help on against Seattle week 17, you do it then, right?
At least play spoiler or something like that.
Yeah.
It would
have
to be.
But I don't know if you bring him back to play spoiler, though. See, I don't know if that's worth it.
It has to be, first of all, 100% clear that they're
right,
healthy and they won't get hurt again. Like, that has to be, or they won't get hurt with that injury. You know, there's no, and I think Kyle Shanahan had that right when he said that. So you have to be comfortable with that, first of all. And then you're not going to, I mean, it's really hard to sit a guy down who can play. So you're not going to just rest him. So that would be pretty much it for me. If they have to be 100%, then okay, you can come back. If not, sorry, we'll try it again next year. Because that's where the 49ers are right now. It's like, you know what? This season didn't work out. They did not earn a playoff spot. They are playing bad football. They lost to a team that they should have 100% beat. You don't get to play in the playoffs, and that's it. Try again next year. That is try again next year mode right now for me with the 49ers.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's one of those things where if they are not going to hurt themselves, yeah, they're football players. You let them go out and do their job. You know, they signed a contract to play football, and you know, you let them do it. But yeah, if there's any risk, it's clearly not worth it at all at this point. And yeah, I don't want to harp too much on last weekend again, but, you know, it's just you know that things would have been different if you had Garoppolo and Kittle playing in that football game, but you didn't. You didn't have them, and you know, you went out there with the football team you had, and you weren't able to get the job done. So you move on to the next week, and you hope you can go out and beat a Dallas football team that is coming off of a win too. So that's no easy task at this point.
All the rage this week is arguing about, at least on 49ers Twitter, arguing about if it's the quarterback's fault or if it's the offensive line's fault. Where do you land on this with an offensive line that didn't play exceptional against a really strong defensive line of that Washington football team? Or how down are you on the 49ers offensive line? Do you think better quarterback play would fix a lot of what ails the 49ers up front?
It was a little bit of both. You know, they definitely didn't have a great game out there, but there were times where Nick Mullins wasn't really helping them out either. So, yeah, it's tough. You saw, you know, Chase Young. You saw what a great defensive lineman can do to a football game. We saw it a lot last year with Nick Bosa. So, you know, it was hard to watch too, because it's like, oh, you just knew that if Bosa was playing this year, he'd have those games and he would essentially win a football game for you. And that's rough to watch as a 49er fan. But yeah, I saw, you know me, I've been the biggest Laken Tomlinson fan this year. And just today I saw a couple of videos out there of him just getting beat, him just getting worked. And so that, you know, I'm not going to all of a sudden start bad-mouthing Tomlinson again, because everybody's got bad games and everybody gets beat. And that Washington team, they have a good defense. That front four, you mentioned it before the game going in. You know, this is one of the best front fours in football, and they showed it. You know, they went out and they worked the 49ers a little bit.
And that's what's tough, because you get sort of one-minded when you're a fan of a team. And so everything right. is either the 49ers did good or the 49ers did bad. And sometimes the other team did good, right? And sometimes yeah. the other team's really talented in an area, and it's really tough to block Chase Young, and it's really tough to block Aaron Donald. And, you know, sometimes Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson are going to make big-time throws, and sometimes you're going to lose football games to good teams and good players. So I think that's one of the aspects of being a fan, that it's hard sometimes. You want to focus on the team that you root for, the team that you follow, and blame them or give them all the credit for everything, and there's another team on the other side that's trying to beat you.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, teams show up sometimes, and you know, you look at Pittsburgh, what they've done all year. You know, they won a lot of close games, and everybody was praising them, and there was a lot of like, well, if the team had just made a play, they would have beat Pittsburgh. You know, and then they lose a couple straight, and it's like, well, were they the real deal? And that's just it with football. Who knows? From week to week, it changes so quickly and so drastically, and injuries play such a large part in it too, that you really never know what happens and what goes into each and every week of football. And as we head towards the playoffs here, it's like, I'm excited. I'm excited to see how this season ends. I'm excited to see if the 49ers can put something together here. And if they lose, it's like, we're at that point now where it's not the end of the world. You know, it's like, okay, well, the better draft picks coming, right?
You're right, though, about the nature of football. Week to week, things can be so crazy and bizarre, yeah. and there's almost like some chaos. You know, it's definitely a controlled chaos. Every football play pretty much is that, and then you times that by however many 60 plays that happen in a game, and there's a lot of nutty stuff that can happen. Sometimes your quarterback has to go poop and come back and go win you a football game when he gets back on the field, right? So you never know what shape a game or a season is going to take, and so I think that's worth remembering always when it comes to football.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't been there? You know, you're in the middle of a game and you just got to go drop one, you know, and then you got to come back and win a football game in the final seconds. It's impressive.
The funny thing is, and Lamar Jackson even referenced He referenced Paul Pierce in the post-game press conference. He said, I didn't pull Paul Pierce on this one. And I totally forgotten about the Paul Pierce thing. And have you ever had that? Like, Paul Pierce, they had to take him off on a wheelchair because he had to go to the bathroom so bad.
Oh, my God, is he ever going
to
play again?
Right, and you thought it was this other crazy injury, and then he finally got that business done and then was able to come back and play. Have you ever had something happen inside you where it balled you up, you couldn't even stand on your own power because you had to use the restroom that badly?
Both of those are their classic WWF moves. Like, you know, when we're growing up, you know, I know it's WWE now, but when we were growing up, it's like, oh my gosh, the Hulk's going to lose. He's got nothing. And then he starts shaking his arm, you know, and he rises up slowly.
Oh,
and it's
it.
Like, oh, that's what was happening out there. Is you saw, you know, it's like, oh no, Lamar Jackson's in the locker room. He's there. He's done. He's injured, but nobody's warming up. what's happening? And he comes out in triumph, and all of a sudden,
yeah, and
wins.
You're like, well, wait a second, how come you're not limping or anything?
Right.
And you just were hurt bad enough to where you couldn't play in the game, and now
you look a
play.
Little lighter. You look a little like you maybe lost some weight there.
At least Kirk Gibson tried to pretend that he was hurt and limped around the bases and pumped his arm after he hit his home run in 1988.
Right, there you go.
But Lamar Jackson, no, it was cramps, and he got an IV, and he even had his arm wrapped up where he had had the IV, and he saw Trace McSorley get hurt and jumped out of there and came back and saved the day. What an amazing game that was. That was fun to watch, and it reminded me how far the 49ers have fallen in 2020, because last year it was Niners-Saints that had that game of the year, and those games haven't existed for the 49ers this season, and it made me a little bit sad, I got to be honest. It's funner to cover a team that's winning a bunch of games and winning those crazy shootouts than it is to see a team that is throwing pick sixes against the Washington football team.
Is it more, would it be a better story, honestly, if it was pooping? Like, I think it would be.
Oh, 100%. I don't know where it came from either. That was the thing. It was like, where? Because I was kind of following Twitter and watching the game a little bit, and yeah. I was doing some other things, and it was like, where did the poop story come from? Like, who invented that story? Did I miss something on the broadcast?
And,
or
yeah,
I didn't
understand. No,
there was
nothing about it on the broadcast. I was
so
watching the game. No, somebody, Poopgate. Yeah, somebody was probably just like, I know what he's doing. He's dropping a deuce. And then, you know, you start retweeting it, and all of a sudden people start, you know.
It's a game of telephone. And that's what stinks is because, no pun intended.
Hey-o.
That's what stinks is if somebody says something like that, then now it's, you right. can't, that can't leave your head, right? So as
it's
long as it
there.
Gets retweeted enough times, now that is the story until proven otherwise. And maybe it
I
still will remain the story.
I will forever think he was pooping. Like, that shit did. You can't convince me otherwise.
I knew he wasn't because he was gone too long. That's how
you've
I
never been. You've never been had some issues and been stuck in the bathroom.
I've had I've had a good book with me before, but never in a situation where I actually had to do something else.
Oh my gosh!
That I had to be in there that long.
Like you know, you're in a rush, and it's like you just can't finish fast enough. Are you kidding me?
No, I don't know. Maybe
you've never been there.
Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't go in there unless
people
I know it's
waiting for you
it's
or
time
something.
Time. Like I think I wait until it's proper time. Like I don't like just go in there all willy nilly and let's see what happens for the next 45 minutes. I don't got that kind of time.
No, that's a bit extreme. 45 minutes. All right. 35. Okay, now we're talking.
All right, more Locked On 49ers. Winky Wednesday coming up. I've got some of your questions here, and Nick, I want to ask you a question about another comment that Kyle Shanahan made this week. Next. Do you want 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com? Well, listen up. I'll tell you how you can get a tasty treat, a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar for 20% off. Right now, I'm staring at a box of Built Bars that I built myself. You can mix and match three flavors. I love the peanut butter. I also wanted to try some other flavors, so I went with toffee almond and one of the six new flavors, cookies and cream. 130 calories in the cookies and cream flavor, 17 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar. It is fantastic. Other new flavors like caramel brownie, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp to go with their 12 original flavors. My favorite is peanut butter that I always talk about. Bars are covered in, this is the best part, 100% chocolate, not a brown colored flavored chocolate weird coating. It's legit chocolate. And it's delicious. I don't understand how they make these Built Bars taste so good and be low calorie and low sugar the way they are, but it's genius. Soft and easy to chew. Health conscious folks will like Built Bars, lose or maintain weight while indulging in a treat. And it's even great for a keto diet. Oh yeah. And that 20% off. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That is promo code LOCKEDON. For 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
I'm just trying to consider what will give us the best chance to win. And, you know, that's pretty much what I try to decide on that every week based off who plays. And just the way we've been turning the ball over so much, I need to decide if changing quarterbacks will help or not. So that's something we'll look into. But, you know, regardless of what's going on in any situation, it's very tough to win football games the way we've been turning the ball over.
So, Nick, Kyle Shanahan extremely annoyed at the turnovers, and it's something I talked about in the podcast leading up to last week's game, and I just don't think that Nick Mullins is going to survive this one, because Kyle Shanahan, for no other reason, will at least want to make a change just to see something different, because it seems like he's pretty worn out with what he's seeing right now. Do you think it would be the right move to change quarterbacks in Week 15?
Yeah, I think you have to, right? I mean, we've seen both of these guys, and you know, there's definitely been higher highs with Mullins, but after these past couple games, it's hard to justify running the guy back out there. Like, it was hard enough to see him finish that game. You know, I thought for sure you'd see the hook at some point during that game, but you also got to trust Kyle, you know, that he sees these guys in practice and he knows who runs his offense better. And that's the thing with Mullins, is like, you know, he can do it. You've seen him do it, but he just can't do it consistently. You see, it's like he read the right play. You know, he knows where the guy's going. He knows where he's going to be. He knows who's going to be open. He just can't make the throw. Like, he didn't have that in his toolkit. He can't do that 99 times out of 100. You know, maybe he can make that throw 75 times. It's just, it's unfortunate to say, but it's just not good enough. And we've seen Beathard, too, not be good enough. So it's like, who you run out there, is it really going to matter?
Yeah, there's no good answer. That's the problem. Right. We kind of already know who Beathard is, and there's a reason right. It's Mullins right now and not Beathard. So make a change just to show us something different for a week. That would be fine, too, but we already know what the outcome is going to be, and both outcomes are bad for the 49ers. And with Nick Mullins, it's unfortunate, because the one thing you have to be if you're Nick Mullins is efficient and not turn the ball over. And right. So, you know, as soon as you start turning the ball over, it's like, well, that's the point of you being in there, is that you're supposed to be smart, run the offense, make a couple of plays, but not screw up too big. And if you're going to start screwing up too big, then we might as well have the guy who's going to, you know, take long sacks and hold on to the ball too long, because maybe he'll throw, you know, a deep ball and make a big play or something like that. And look, this Cowboys defense is very susceptible. So whichever quarterback plays is probably going to put up some yardage and some points. So you want to be the quarterback playing this week more so than against that defensive line of the Washington football team last week. And if it's C.J. Beathard, he might look better than Mullins did last week, but a lot of that might be the opponent as well. We talked about how there's another team trying to stop you, and the Cowboys can't really stop anybody on defense. So, but I'm with you. It's like, whatever. It doesn't matter. Make a change just so we can see something different for a week.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is there anybody else out there? You know, you think about it, it's like
Josh Johnson.
Yeah. So he's on the practice squad.
I would
get him up there.
I would rather see Josh Johnson than Mullins or Beathard, yeah, to be honest with you. Just because I know I can't picture what that's going to look like as easily. And so right. That, to me, is more fun.
Yeah, because we know what Beathard's going to look like if he comes in there.
Even though we've seen Josh Johnson, too. But I just have, you know, we don't know what that looks like with Kyle Shanahan. And that could be something that's at least fun for a quarter or two. I don't know. I have no idea. Zero quarterbacks. How about that? Can we do that?
There you go. Well, you haven't seen Josh Johnson with Mostert and Ayuk. You know, like with some actual weapons.
Oh, right.
That he can throw to. So exactly. Maybe it does look different. I don't know. Well, you haven't really seen Beathard either with a healthy squad, and it's not a healthy squad. But yeah, it's just there's no real good answer right now. It's unfortunate that's where we are at this point, you know, in 2020. But we are here, and you're going to trust Kyle, right? I mean, he's going to put the guy out there who gives you the best chance to win. And honestly, it's probably going to be Nick Mullins again, don't you think?
I think it might be Nick Mullins. I think he would have probably announced it if they were going with C.J. Beathard, and maybe not. Maybe he'll announce it later in the week, and Beathard is actually the guy in practice that we're not seeing, you know, because we don't have access to that. He's actually taking the first team reps all week, and he wants Dallas to be preparing for the wrong quarterback. Maybe that's
sure. What
he's doing, and that's a possibility. But I don't know if it makes a big difference, but I don't really care at this point.
Yeah, to be honest, that's where we're at. It's at the, you know, you lose, you can't be bummed at this point of the season.
And it's not that I don't care. Like, I still want to watch the team and see what happens. And I think for Kyle Shanahan, he doesn't want the worst quarterback. He wants his best quarterback in there. So he wants the guy that gives him the best chance to win. He's trying to win some games. And I think that's why we'll still see George Kittle this year. And I think that's why we'll still see Jimmy Garoppolo this year if he does overcome that injury. Because Kyle Shanahan's trying to win every single game that he can. And he might feel a little bit different for fans that are watching games and thinking, yeah, a couple losses might be okay. Give us a better shot to draft somebody. Kyle Shanahan and the players on the field are definitely not thinking that way.
No, you sit here as a fan, and I can't root against my team. Like, I just can't do it. Like, I would much rather win three games, you know, go 8-8 and finish the season just missing the playoffs than lose out and get a better draft pick. Like, that, I just can't root for that.
Let's dive into. Yeah, no, I hear you, and I hear a lot from fans. Like some of them are there. It's really split actually right now. I think last week before the Washington game, fans were still, even after losing to the Bills, were like, yeah, you know, let's win some games. Let's win some games this season. Let's go. And I think some of the same people after this game were like, yeah, let's lose all the games and get a better draft pick.
Right.
Yeah, pretty done with it. So I can see both sides of that. I get both sides of.
Oh, I get it.
And I don't think you're a bad fan for thinking one way or the other.
No. I don't want to criticize anyone out there. That's just not in me. Like, I can't bring myself to do that.
Kyle wants to know, how are the 49ers favorites over Dallas in Dallas without Debo, and we either have Mullins or Bethard under center? What do you think about that? Niners being favored over Dallas right now with Mullins or Bethard at quarterback?
I mean, it's obviously all about betting lines. You know, it's all about them, you know, making sure that the bets are relatively even for them. So that's more of a Vegas thing. I wouldn't personally put the 49ers are favored on the road because they aren't a good football team right now. Like, the defense has been playing well. They really stepped up after, you know, they played a really good Bills team and they came back and they look good against Washington. They really shut down Terry McLaurin. Like, we didn't see him. And yeah, they were down there starting running back, but the defense has looked a lot better. Do we know the status of Warner? I haven't seen anything.
I think they were still waiting on more imaging.
Okay.
Last I heard on Fred Warner. Hopefully we'll know more about that later in the week and we'll get the official, as of recording this, we're recording Tuesday afternoon. We don't have the official injury report yet for practice. So we'll get that information very soon, but that's another one. I mean, that was one of the moments. I think that was actually the moment in the season because of the way the game was going. And there was the defensive touchdown for Washington. They had taken a lead in the first half and Warner went down with injury. That was the moment for me. It was like, you know what? Let's just shut this down. Sit everybody.
2020 is not our year.
It's not going to happen this year because Warner was the last guy that was like, hey, he's playing every game. He's playing at such a high level. Then he gets hurt too. Now, literally every single good player the 49ers have been out this season.
Yeah, has missed some sort of time. Yeah, it's not our year, no doubt. But at the same time, like, we can win out. Let's go. That's me. Sure, I'm never going to give up.
back to that question about being favored. Man, here's the thing. If Cowboys beat the 49ers, they'll both have the same 5-9 records on the year.
Ugh, that's disgusting.
The Cowboys can't stop anybody on defense. But the Cowboys have some firepower on offense. They've got some playmakers.
Sure.
Two of the better rookie wide receivers in the league will be going head-to-head, Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, a guy that I thought the Niners maybe should have drafted instead of Kinlaw. So that'll be a fun one to watch. And obviously, no Dak Prescott to get him the ball, which has made things a lot more difficult in Dallas for their team. But they just can't stop anybody on defense. And it's funny because we know that coaching staff all too well. It's Mike McCarthy and Mike Nolan over there in Dallas, and we saw them lose a lot of games with the 49ers in 2005 before McCarthy went and got that head coaching job. Looking at the line, Niners favored by 3. I think it should probably be a pick 'em. So I guess give me the Cowboys because I'm getting points. If the Cowboys were favored, give me the Niners and get points. Could go any direction. I have no idea what to expect, what kind of Niners team that will show up in Dallas. The big thing that I see with this game that I think is a huge bummer for everybody involved, the entire league, is that it got flexed out of primetime. 49ers, Cowboys, that storied, both of these storied teams, the rivalry with these teams. Like, if you were picking games, if you were the networks and they had a draft for which games they wanted to hold on their network, two premier franchises, huge fan base, 49ers, Cowboys, both teams expected to be fighting for the playoffs at this point of the year. The Niners were just coming off a Super Bowl. And you're like, yeah, let's put that game in primetime. And the fact that that's getting flexed out of primetime is really all you need to know about these two teams this year in this game, which is really
well. Yeah, they're a combined 9-17. Ouch, that's not good. And what got flexed into it too is it Browns Giants.
Oh, it's even worse if the Browns and Giants are the teams that got flexed into prime time.
I'm pretty sure that's what's going on.
I think it is. Yeah, Browns and Giants are in prime
time.
Yeah,
I mean the Browns, you know, they've got a winning record. They're playing well, but the Giants, like, oh. Is Colt McCoy going to be their starting quarterback?
The Browns haven't been good for 30 years, and they just got flexed into prime time over 49ers Cowboys.
Right. That hurts. That's, you know, that's a pride knocker right there, as it should be.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now. All right, let's continue on with some more of these questions here. Big questions in 2021 for the 49ers. Nick and I have some answers. They might not be the right ones, but we do have some answers coming up on Winky Wednesday. Ferocious Gentleman wants to know, in 2017, it was pass rush versus secondary. It was Bosa. 2020, is fixing the interior offensive line or get an athletic quarterback that can survive behind the undersized guards? Which one of those is the answer? They excel in their zone blocking scheme, but give up pressures up the middle. Run game is always top 10, so I say QB. What say you?
Yeah, it always starts at the quarterback, doesn't it? I mean,
it's always quarterback. For me, every team, yeah. I said this yesterday, every team, every year, it's quarterback until you have quarterback fixed.
Yep.
And not just like pretty good. Get quarterback right. And that's why I can't fault the Eagles. And they got lucky that now they actually really needed him earlier than they thought, drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round. I can't fault the Packers for drafting a first-round quarterback when they didn't really know how the Rodgers thing was going to go, and he was starting to show some signs of maybe slowing down in his career, and maybe it wasn't meshing with him and the new coach last year, and they draft a first-round, very talented quarterback. Even if it ends up being a completely wasted pick, you're going to waste a pick, waste it on a quarterback, because you have to get that right. It's the most important position in sports.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the top of the AFC, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Tennessee, like quarterbacks, right? You look at the NFC, Green Bay, New Orleans, Rams, like these are teams that have gone out and found their guy. You know, it's their franchise quarterback. They're good to go. And then you look at the bottom of it, and it's, you know, it's Dallas with an injury. It's you know, Atlanta, it's Carolina, it's these teams, it's the Jets, it's the Jaguars, it's the Bengals. Like, yeah, the Bengals had their guy, but he got hurt. And you see what happens. You know, it's all about quarterback. It's all about getting that guy that's going to lead your football team to the next level. And you've seen a lot of young guys do it really fast too in this league. So that's another reason why people are like, we got to do it now. We got to get our guy, you know? So, and that's what the 49ers, I think, are going to do. I really feel like they're going to go after somebody this offseason, some young guy, bring in another veteran. I don't think we're getting Jimmy back next year. More and more every game we lose, it looks like it's more and more of a certainty that he won't be back.
Sully wants to know, give us your plan to fix the 49ers to be successful in 2021. What players would you get rid of? What positions are you high on in the draft, free agency, et cetera? I think just for a simple plan, if you're going to fix things, you got to figure out if Jimmy's your guy or not. Because the first round quarterback thing and Jimmy, you could do both, but then you're going to really not be able to put resources into some other positions on your football team. I think the advantage of moving on from Jimmy is the $20 million savings. Then you draft a first round quarterback, and then maybe you can bring another player instead of drafting a first round corner. The money is saved. You can bring back Richard Sherman, right? Or you can go to the free agent market and sign Alex Smith, Alex Mack to play center or something like that, right? So the savings of Garoppolo money with a first round quarterback, you do free agent stuff. If you keep Jimmy Garoppolo, now you have to spend the draft picks on and those resources on some players and the depth on your football team to go with Jimmy Garoppolo. You could put Jimmy Garoppolo and a first round pick together, but now you have a lame duck quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo anyway. So if the decision is to go first round quarterback, I don't think Garoppolo is the answer there. I think you save money. So I think that's the number one thing. And for me, if the 49ers are in a position and lose enough games, or they have talked to some teams, and here's the problem, is they have to figure out the veteran quarterback before the draft. So they don't know where they're going to be picking, or they'll know where they're picking, but they don't know who's going to be there. And the quarterback they like might not be available. So they have to have a really good vibe on the amount of quarterbacks that are available, liking a guy that they think is going to be there, or having a good idea that they've talked to some teams and think they can move up to a point where they can draft one of their quarterbacks. And then if you have a really good, cheap quarterback, that's the best long-term. Maybe you're not best week one 2021, but you have a cheap quarterback that you can build around, which is a huge advantage in the NFL, and potentially a higher upside quarterback down the road. So that's, to me, the first thing. And then if you do save those free agent dollars on Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe you can bring in some veteran pieces to fix some of those other spots, like interior offensive line. But I know a lot of people are mad about the offensive line, but interior offensive line, unless you figure out quarterback, you're not spending first round picks and fixing your team on a guard or a center.
Yeah, and let's not forget they got to re-sign Trent Williams too. So they're, you know, that's going to cost a pretty penny.
Yeah, they've got a ton of free agents. Like, they're going to lose a lot of guys, even if they did move on from Jimmy Garoppolo and save that $20 million.
Right. So yeah, it's really hard for me to see Garoppolo in a 49er uniform just because of the huge savings that they get. You know, just I'm leaning heavily towards that happening, because you gotta free up some cash. You really do. You gotta go out. You need cornerback. We haven't even addressed the cornerback issue very much on this show. Like, that's going to be big. Basically, all their guys are going to be free agents after this year. So you're going to have to bring in some guys and re-sign some guys. And I like Jimmy Garoppolo when he's on the field. The problem is he's not.
That's the other thing is even if you think he's the guy, if he's not on the field, you can't be the guy when you're not playing. And so it's an extra level of, man, you know, maybe it is time to move on. And the 49ers have a lot of that. Like, their quarterback and their two best players, Nick Bosa and George Kittle, have a really troubling history with injuries now.
Yep.
That's not a great place to be. And that's why I lean towards sitting George Kittle. I mean, it's a lot easier said than done. You be the guy to tell George Kittle he can't play if he thinks he's 100%, right?
But no, thanks.
They need those guys healthy next year. They need Kittle and Bosa healthy next year, no matter who's playing quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you look over Kansas City and you look at what they're doing. They're healthy. You know, you look at most of the teams at the top of their divisions and they're healthy. You look at the 49ers last year, they were healthy. And it's, you know, a lot of it is freak accidents. I saw a funny a tweet. I wish I could give credit to who it was, but it's like, who do you blame for this? Is it, you know, can you blame the training staff? Can you blame the facilities? Is it just random luck? And it's random luck. It's just bad luck, man. These are stupid injuries that just happen in football. And unfortunately, it's been a record-setting year for the 49ers when it comes to injuries. And you know, this is when you weed out a lot of the bad fans, too. That's fine. That's fine. They can bounce. I'm good with that.
I wonder what the procedure is for Lamar Jackson if he goes to the locker room and you have to,
like,
do you have to massage that out? Like, is there somebody that's specifically on a roster to help with those internal sort of issues?
Right. You know, like a wiper?
And could you blame that on your training staff if, you know, if someone's loses a game because they got
that guy enough fiber earlier in the day? Where's your fiber technician?
All right. A lot of people are mad about the offensive line. A couple of real quick ones, Nick, to finish this up. Travis says, to be honest with you, I don't even want to go through this whole question because he's upset about Mike McGlinchey, but he calls him Mike McFlinchey. What do you think? Is that nickname going to stick?
That's pretty good. I kind of like that.
Okay. Mike McFlinchey. The biggest problem
on
our team.
I wish it wasn't, but.
Do you agree with Travis that Mike McFlinchey is the biggest problem on the 49ers team?
On the offensive line, yeah, I do, unfortunately. That right tackle is important. It's very, very important, and he has not looked good in pass protection at all.
To me, I think the big thing with McGlinchey is, could you sweeten a trade deal in the draft by adding Mike McGlinchey to it? Because if you pay, it's what it's going to cost to keep him at the level he's playing at currently and projecting out what he'll be, because he's a top 10 draft pick who plays offensive tackle. That's usually somebody who's going to make a whole bunch of money in free agency. If you're paying Trent Williams $20 million, do you want to pick up McGlinchey's fifth year option and then pay him when he does become a free agent, which is going to be big money? Or would you try to package him in a deal and put Brunskill at right tackle? I think that's a big question for the 49ers. I don't think they'll do that, but
right.
I think that's something that might be smart this offseason if they are able to add him to a deal, save some draft picks in a trade up situation.
Yeah. You kind of hoped he would take the next step, you know, coming into this season, and he didn't. If anything, he kind of regressed in his pass protection, which that's a big bummer.
Last one to finish this off. Big picture from Steven. Are the 49ers too bad this year to make a playoffs, but too good to get a top quarterback in the draft? If so, is this a wasted year?
Yes and no. Right. I mean, They obviously were in a position. They're still in a position to make playoffs, but I don't think that they have it in them. Unfortunately, that the health is just not on their side. I'd be surprised if Warner plays this weekend. I really would, and that's just another bummer, you know. And as for the top draft pick, I don't know. Are you going to lose out and only have 5 wins? And then what's that going to get you? Is that going to get you in the top 10? Probably not.
I think losing out will get them in the top 10. They're already at 12, and there's so many teams with 4 and 5 wins.
Uh-huh.
Like, if they lose to
each other,
if they lose to Dallas, they'll jump in front of Dallas this week.
That's true.
Because,
but is Houston going to win any more football games? You know, like,
Houston's probably going to lock up the number 4 pick, but they do only have 4 wins. Like, it only takes one more win for some of those teams if
that's
the 49ers
true.
Lost out.
You should look at these teams, though. It's like Atlanta, Carolina, you know, Jacksonville, Cincinnati. I don't see a lot of those wins. The Jets, obviously, you know, but maybe they play each other. Maybe these teams play, so someone's going to have to win.
And the Jets almost beat the Raiders last week, right? So it's not impossible for some of these bad teams to win. And some of these teams have still won 4 games. So Chargers, Dallas, Carolina, Atlanta, Houston, which Miami owns their pick, and Philadelphia, they all have 4 wins. Then New York, Detroit, San Francisco, Denver all have 5 wins. So that's pick 4 all the way to 13, all within one game of each other. So there's a lot to shake out there. The 49ers could conceivably be top 5 when it's all said and done. So if they lose out, they'll definitely be top 10 because a couple of those teams are going to win a game or two. But the 49ers will, I think strength of schedule hurts the Niners. a little bit because of those NFC West teams, and that's one of the tiebreakers in the draft. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, again, not rooting against them, but it wouldn't be the end of the world if they happen to slip into the top 10 there in the draft, or top five, as you mentioned.
And at this point,
that'd be amazing.
At this point, they can't be higher than 18 because there's those are the non-playoff teams, and I don't think they're going to pass up. You know, one of these non-playoff teams is going to have 8 wins, and so the 49ers would have to win out just to get to the 17, 18 point in the draft. So to me, it's somewhere between pick 7 or 8 and 15 is where they'll be drafting.
All right. What do you think? You think they're going to win this weekend?
I think they can beat the Cowboys. Will they? Well, they can. I have no idea. I don't like the way they're playing, and the Cowboys have actually had a couple of decent games. Well, they had one decent game against the worst team in the league, so I take that back. Cowboys are bad. They can't stop anybody, so maybe an offensive breakout will help the 49ers this week. If I had to guess, I'd say the Niners go 1-2 the rest of the way. So they end up
win this game, lose
10.
The next two.
Yeah, 6-10 season, which will probably put them around pick 10 or so.
Oof. Yeah, I don't want to lose to Dallas. Oh, man, that would really suck.
Yeah, at least win. Wow, the Seahawks, too. Which game would you rather win?
Yeah.
You only get one.
Of course I'd rather win the Seahawks game. Yeah. Of course. But still, I want to win all of them.
I think you have a better reason. I think it would hurt more to lose to the Cowboys because you have a better reason to lose to the Seahawks, right? Because they're supposed to be a better team. If you're
sure,
if you lose to Dallas and they're bad and you lose to them on top of it, like, and the game
in
gets
Dallas,
the game gets flexed out of primetime.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
And it's also a worse sign for the Niners if they lose to Dallas because that's what the game they should win. If there's one that
they should have beat Washington. So.
Yeah, right. Which was a bad sign that they lost that game too.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of bad signs for how the 49ers are playing right now.
Ended on a great note today.
Anyway, good stuff, Nick. Always appreciate you joining the show.
My pleasure, bud.
We almost didn't have this show. Roadhouse was on TV, and I was like, gosh, I guess I got to turn off Roadhouse to come watch,
no,
a podcast.
No, it's understandable next week. I'm sure everybody would get it. Like, if we just don't have Weeky Wednesday and you just put like 28 minutes of Roadhouse,
be like, sorry, guys, Roadhouse was on next week. We'll be back and do the podcast.
Right. And then Next of Kin the following week. Like, just get your Patrick Swayze movies going, man.
I'd still watch a 49ers game over Roadhouse, though.
Yeah.
Even with the Niners not
game over anything.
Yeah. Same here. All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, everybody, for your questions. Be back tomorrow with a Thursday crossover episode looking ahead to this Dallas Cowboys matchup in week 15 right here. Locked On 49ers.
See ya.